Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I think I would have benefited a great deal if I had chatted with Pam before I came up with this sermon. It may have been quite helpful. Because it's good to get information. And we are of the information age. We have all that technology right at our fingertips that can give us more information than we know what to do with. It helps in decision-making processes in terms of getting other people's opinions or expert opinions on different things or different products. You want to go out to a new restaurant and you're not sure about it. Well, you can go on Yelp and look to see what their ratings are to see what other people think of that restaurant. You can also offer your own opinion then once you've been there to help other people in terms of their guidance. There's all kinds of different ways to be able to do it, especially with consumer products. Used to be you had Consumer Report. It got mailed to you. You looked it up. You hoped it was something that you were thinking about getting because it was always a few different things with each issue. Now you have Consumer Report online. You have all of their reports right there at your fingertips. But you also have thousands and thousands of other websites to offer their opinions on all kinds of different things. And there is where you need to be careful. Because you got to know whose voice you're listening to. The other day I was watching a show and they advertised a mattress I had never seen before. Purple. It's called purple because part of the little cushioning stuff that you lay on is made out of a material that's purple. And so they took a gentleman, put him in a harness, hung him over top of the bed by about 2 or 3 feet with raw eggs strapped to his back. And they dropped him. And the eggs did not break. Which made me go, huh. But then I began to think that this mattress company is one of dozens of mattress companies I begin to see advertising on TV that will send you their burrito in a box that turns into a mattress. You take it out, you cut the plastic, it unrolls itself, it goes, and there you have your own little mattress. So I began to look into this and found out there are over 100 mattress companies that offer online mattresses. 100! And they all have little varieties of changes and differences between how those mattresses are manufactured. You got the purple stuff here. You got the sports stuff here that they run some kind of material through that if you're an athletic person, it helps you in the process of rejuvenating and healing your body from the things you put it through. They have another one that tells you whether you slept well or not at night. I don't know about you, but when I wake up in the morning, I know whether I slept well or not. I don't need an app hooked into my mattress to tell me that fact. So you have to figure out which ones are which one's best, which one do you want to get if you're considering an online mattress. And so you can go, of course, to a website that will evaluate the mattresses. Until I found out that many of those on-site evaluative websites are owned by mattress companies. So imagine the mattress that finishes first on the website owned by that mattress company. You have to be careful about whose voice it is that you're listening to, because you might get guided down a path you really didn't want to go. In today's first lesson, we have the tail end of the story of creation. We have the story of what we call as the fall from grace, the separation from God. It's the story of Adam and Eve and how they choose to do the one thing that God tells them not to do. And of course, they fess up to it right away. You got to love Adam because Adam's the one who looks at God and basically says, hey, it's your fault. You gave me that woman. But at least he was smart enough not to really directly blame the woman. You catch that one? And then Eve blames the serpent, and God curses the serpent. And later on, then they're ushered out of the Garden of Eden into this world that we know. And the story is, it's because they made a choice. There were two voices to listen to, God's voice, the voice of the serpent. They chose, in part, to listen to the voice of the serpent. We're called to do something different. You know, people look at the Bible a lot of times and they understand the Bible to be a book of rules and regulations or kind of a history book. And while it is somewhat that, really what the Bible is, I believe, is a book of the history of a relationship between God and God's creation, between God and humanity, between what God created and how that relationship was going to live. And it was supposed to be a perfect relationship from the very beginning because God said, at the end of each day, it was good. End of day six, God said, it's really good. And so we have this creation of perfection that's brought forth that's supposed to live under the auspices and the guidance of God until they choose to do that one thing that they were asked not to do, hearing the wrong voice. And so the Bible, while it is about that relationship with God and humanity, it is also a Bible or a book that is taken and kind of whittled down to two relationships. The relationship that we have with God, which is laid out there very clearly at the very beginning, and the relationship we have with one another, the relationship we have with all of humanity. And Jesus says in both of those things, it's about love. It's about loving God and loving and caring for your brothers and sisters, your neighbors, treating people the way you want to be treated. And there is where it comes back to the voices we listen to. We have the voice of God clearly laid out for us scripturally. We have the voice of God laid out to us when we have conversations with other people of the faith. We have the voice of God sometimes when you have an experience like this where you're sitting and listening to somebody droning on and on and on about stuff. You get some little tidbit or insight and go, oh, that's interesting for me, what God would want. And then we have all the other stuff. All that noise that's out there. All the different competing voices trying to get us to do things, to endorse things, to believe in things, to be a certain way, to act a certain way, to be able to endorse somebody's actions that want to do something else. And the problem is, what are those voices? Are those voices that we hear that come to us from God? Are those voices of love? Are those voices of compassion? Are those voices of concern? Or are they voices of self-aggrandizement? Are these voices of promotion and profit? Are they voices that sign themselves, stacking themselves on top of bodies of people who have to suffer on behalf of what that voice offers? We have to be careful of the voices we listen to. Because the voice of God clearly calls us to be people of love. People who are worried and concerned about the plight of humanity. People who look at the situations within the world and will value the situation of somebody else's life more than our very lives. It is about understanding God's call within our world to be people of love and compassion, to be able to reach out to people in need, to be able to see the things happen, to be able to endure policies and budgets and economies that help support the people in the margins of society. We are responsible for these people. We might not like it, But that's where God has put us. Responsible for people throughout the world. Responsible for the plight of the hungry. Responsible for the plight of the homeless. Responsible for finding ways to help people who need medical care, who might find themselves needing some kind of mental health assessment or assistance. To be able to do those things within our world, to see that the people on the fringes, on those margins, are cared for. When the voices tell us that we don't need to worry about them, when the voices tell us that that's somebody else's problem, when the voices say, oh, just push them off to the side and let them figure it out for themselves, when the voices say that it's none of our business because they're not like us, when the voices tell us that they're a different religion or a different color, so we don't need to be concerned about that, when the voices tell us they're not our people, so that's not our worry, then those voices lie. Because those voices are calling for dissent against the God of life. Those voices are calling us to do things that God would not have us do. Those voices are calling us not to be the people that God would indeed insist that we are. Because those are not voices of love. They are not voices of compassion and concern. They are voices that are worried only about themselves. We are called to worry about everybody. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, if we had got it right in the beginning, we wouldn't be where we are now. But it doesn't mean we can't do our very best to get it right now. Be careful of the voices you listen to. For there is only one real voice, and that's the voice of God's love.